Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We got the chocolates.
What the frick is that?
We got the chocolates. We got the chocolates.
Wait, there's a podcast?
Yes. Really?
Scouts, welcome back to the Week of the Chocolates podcast. I'm Lee.
I'm Skin.
I'm Mikis.
Mikis over there. Well done, Mikis. That's excellent. Now, we are in the midst of our Good Chat episodes. You've heard one already from Mikis. You've also heard last week from Goaty. And today, you are getting the chance to hear from Skin. Yep. They can't hear your thumbs up.
Exciting stuff.
It is. It's very good. We speak to Skin about plenty of things. I actually haven't listened to it since we did it, so I can't remember what it was. But I know that there was a great insight into, I'd say, Skin, you're quite interesting. Like, it's more to you than would meet the eye, you might say, because you're quite a quiet guy. You know, sometimes we don't allow enough time for you to talk. Mm. But in a Good Chat episode with Skin, you sort of have to allow you the chance to speak.
I suppose so. Yep. I don't know how well I spoke, but I guess we'll find out.
Yep, and they'll find out right now. This is how it went. All right, Skin, we're having a good chat with you, which is fantastic. I guess we could probably start by saying that your real name's not actually Skin from birth.
Correct.
Your real name is?
Mitchell.
Excellent. Yeah. It feels weird saying that now. I mean, me personally, I've never actually called you Mitchell, I don't think. I've called you a lot of things. We're brothers and growing up, 7 years age difference, mm-hmm. in which you were younger. Mm-hmm. Probably
that
still
surprises
are.
Some people.
Yep. Yeah.
he hasn't out like lived you. Yeah.
He hasn't closed the gap at all. Yeah. Yeah. Just maintained a steady lead. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where that actually came from. Like, you did have what was your one rule in the house as we were sort of growing up? Like, when people would say, like, why did this happen?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much before you bother asking a question, just first ask yourself if the question can be answered by Lee is a dickhead. that was the rule of thumb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because most people would come through and be like, why is his nickname Jane? Mm.
Lee is a dickhead.
Yeah. It was generally just the answer. But Skin is definitely the one that's stuck, and certainly throughout your We Got the Chocolates career, it's become one that's pretty, I don't know, it feels unnatural calling you anything else.
Mm. I call him Mitchell. I call him Mitch and Mitchell a fair bit.
When he's in trouble.
I call him Mitchell a bit. Not on the app, but like if we're walking, I'll go, Mitchell.
Yeah, that's fair, actually. Yeah.
I've never once said Mitchell.
Not many people say Mitchell. Yeah. Eloise still calls me Mitchell for some reason, which is really weird. I thought I'd be pretty close with her by now, but but yeah, she calls me Mitchell. Most people would at least shorten it to Mitch, if not Skin, but
Yeah, well, we started with the nickname thing, but definitely, Mitchell is actually the real name, but this is Skin if you're listening, and it's a good chat with him to learn a little bit more about what makes him tick. Skin, I guess going back to sort of the younger years, you were actually the only person in our family, so we have a sister as well, Bryony, who's in between us, but you were the only person that actually did a little bit of schooling at two different places. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Most of our schooling was at Redlands College.
Great place.
Yep, fine place, yeah, with Mikis.
Yeah.
I think, so you and Bryony went from prep to grade 12. I swapped out at grade 8 to move around the corner to Alex Hills. And I think I did 3 years there, 8, 9, and 10, and then came back to Redlands for 11 and 12.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah, but actually what people probably wouldn't know is because at that time, like we always joke on the podcast about how you retired from footy at 12.
Yeah.
After a breakout season.
Yeah.
Which was big news at the time. You know, as a 12-year-old, sort of, you know, there were some comparisons being thrown around to like Wally Lewis and that sort of thing, like similar ages. And then you actually moved school basically for that rugby league program, did you not? Like at that point, yeah, it was something that you were sort of quite into.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. There was a footy coach at that school that said they had a sports excellence program. And I was like, yeah, all right, I'll give it a crack. Moved over there and somehow moving over to a sports excellence program got me more interested in education. So I went over there, started getting A's in science, and then gave up on footy. So yeah, it was strange.
You would probably be one of the only aspiring NRL players to end up with a Bachelor of Chemistry.
I don't have that.
For the 48th time, it's not a Bachelor of Chemistry.
Well, what do you actually have?
I did a Bachelor of Science and majored in physics, not chemistry.
Yeah. Right.
Same thing.
How different are they?
How different are those?
Could not be closer. Like they're so far away, chemistry and physics.
They could not be closer.
Could not be closer.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Good podcast.
There'd have to be elements that help across both.
Elements,
they?
That's quite common
see that.
In
Look
science.
At that. Yeah,
yeah, for know. Sure. I guess there's some crossover. Elements probably more to do with chemistry, I would think. Physics, I don't know. Well, covers a lot of stuff, obviously. Like you get, I guess you start with laws of motion and then it probably gets all the way down to an understanding of how atoms work. So,
and how Eves work as well.
Exactly.
So you were quite an intelligent.
It goes further than that too, but anyway.
Nice. Yeah. So you were quite an intelligent specimen. Like this sort of started from year 8, you're saying? You took quite an interest in science?
Yeah. There was a science teacher at Alex Hills that just taught science in a way that got me interested in it for the first time and I liked it. So yeah, started there. And then, yeah, ended up moving back to Redlands, I guess, to take that a little bit more seriously. Studied physics, chemistry, biology in grade 11 and 12 and then, wasn't really sure what I wanted to do after that. So going into a Bachelor of Science, which just felt pretty general and majored in the one I enjoyed the most and finished it and still had no idea what I wanted to do with myself. So yeah, it was good.
Were you like when you started that study, sort of that area of study, I guess, did you have a job in mind that you were sort of thinking this would be very cool to do eventually?
I think I was probably tossing up between a few different things. I think initially I went into a Bachelor of Science hoping to eventually go into medicine, but then wasn't that interested in biology. Majored in physics. So that probably ruled that out. And then I was thinking engineering for a while. I couldn't tell you why I didn't really pursue that any further. I think by the end of uni, I just got a bit sick of studying all the time. So
absolutely. And then the podcasting sort of, that wasn't really on the cards for you so much, was it?
Like, no, not at all. Yeah. That was not one of the jobs I had in mind at the time, I'll be honest. But it's, yeah, that sort of happened by accident, I suppose. Just by living with you, who never stops talking. It's been obviously been enjoyable. Can't complain, I suppose.
And you were like, because you were never really the most outgoing youngster, really, were you? Like people probably wouldn't. Well, I guess some people would probably have an insight into that. But even like when people now come up to you in the street and say like, "Hey, Skin, how's the knob?" After the Prince Albert sort of thing, you don't like just. You're not brilliant at just like
glad
rolling
you
into
off.
A.
He doesn't whip it out.
You're not brilliant at just rolling into conversation, are you? Like with complete strangers?
No, not at all. I would say I'm pretty terrible at it, and probably pretty terrified of it. Like the idea of conversing with someone I don't know at all is daunting. So yeah, how I've ended up publicly speaking as a full time job is baffling, but.
But I guess you two like growing up together and him being so the other way, I guess he's probably dragged you along. I'm talking about Lee here. He's probably dragged you along in a fair bit of that stuff the whole way through your life as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I think also like like when we were growing up, I like hung out with your mates a lot. I sort of just lingered around your friendship group and stuff. So you probably like forced me to converse with people that I didn't know that well either. And yeah, I probably learnt a lot of the little bit about interacting with strangers that I know from just watching someone who was so confident at it the whole time. So yeah, that was
overly confident. Good.
Yeah, overly confident. Yeah, I would say you err the other side sometimes. Like, you know, you don't need to linger around for 20 minutes when someone starts a small conversation with you, but that's fine.
The best
and the worst at the same time.
Oh.
Yeah, I could meet somewhere in the middle of us too. Yeah, it'd be good. Yeah.
Surely there's a happy meeting there.
There is. I don't know why you're on your high horse, because you're just like, you meet someone for the first time, like, can you give me a haircut or buy me a beer?
Or you'll meet someone for the 10th time and say, nice to meet you.
I'm absolutely not on my high horse here. I suck at meeting people.
We're very naturally gifted at that part. And then, Skin, what about in terms of like, because the interesting thing I think about what we're probably doing now is like podcasting is one element that you probably didn't picture yourself doing in terms of like the public speaking side of it. But you actually always had a massive interest in business. Like, I feel like it was always an ambition for you to be quite entrepreneurial. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And that's probably why I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with my uni degree or what job I wanted to get into. I guess, yeah, like they were options that I was throwing up just because I sort of, I don't know, it felt like you had to get a good job. Like, that just seemed like what everyone was doing, I suppose. But I wouldn't say any of those careers ever really excited me. Whereas, yeah, I was probably always pondering what sort of little business you could start to try and just to work on something that's your own and that you can get passionate about and enjoy. So yeah, I was always sort of thinking about that. And I think like through uni and shortly after, I'd had a crack at, I don't know, like a few different things like drop shipping and fulfillment by Amazon and stuff like that, just to have a go at starting businesses. They all failed miserably, so that was nice. but I guess they were a nice little learning curve. And then, yeah, and then sort of starting the podcast. I think in the first place it never really looked like being something that would evolve into that, but it just sort of slowly became more and more obvious that it could be a fine business, which man, I just got more and more interested in it, and yeah, here we are.
And even now, like I would say that the majority of like the new things that we would try, like the fact that we want to get more into merch, more into YouTube and stuff, that's probably more you that drives those ideas on the basis of like where you see potential for growth. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Yeah, I just enjoy learning about, I don't know, I feel like there's a few, it's an interesting, like, yeah, I don't know, it's an interesting little business. Obviously, it like revolves around the podcast, but I feel like there are quite a few arms that can sort of grow off of it. And it's just cool to get to learn about them and explore them, I suppose, so, and try and grow each of them. So,
And within those years of schooling, and particularly when you went back to Redlands College for years 11 and 12, that is actually where you met your now fiancée, Eloise, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that was – like, obviously that's been a flourishing relationship now for – I'm not sure how long. That's plenty of years though, isn't it? Seven or eight?
Nine, I think.
Yeah, maybe? That's what I thought. but that wasn't always smooth sailing right at the start, was it either? I mean, I wasn't great one of the great love coaches, but I do remember some frustrating days at school for you when you were coming home.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, certainly not smooth sailing. I think I met her very early in grade 11 when I went back to school, and I think it was essentially like a little love at first sight situation. So I was pretty hooked from like day one. And she was Harvey Norman, no interest for at least the first year. So that was nice.
That was awesome. That was so good.
And then I think, yeah, sort of in between grades 11 and 12, she started showing some interest in that holiday period. Then gave me donuts again at the start of the next year. So that was nice. And then it would have been halfway through grade 12. We finally decided to give it a good crack, and it's been going well ever since. So I'm really not sure what changed in that year and a half, because it's not like I got a lot funnier or anything.
Don't sell yourself short, mate.
Not sure what it was that convinced her to come around, but
it'd be interesting to ask her what was the moment.
And the proposal, how did all that go down? Did it go down smoothly? No nerves, no butterflies, anything like that?
Oh, plenty of nerves and butterflies, but it did go down smoothly. I had about 8 years to plan it. So,
and you did a lot more planning than probably what I thought you would. I don't know. Like it feels like you were quite meticulous. Although you are quite well planned in a lot of things, aren't you? Like you're quite meticulous.
Yeah, we did have to push him a fair bit, like every week. So, hey, mate, when are you going to propose this week?
Yeah, but I feel like even when we were doing that, you were probably in the background. The wheels were churning about what you wanted to do.
Yeah, it would have been. Yeah, it would have been at least a few months. I was working it all out, I suppose. But no, yeah, it went well. We had just a holiday booked up the Sunshine Coast, and I think it was around the time of one of our anniversaries or something. And yeah, so I sort of just convinced her we were going to go to this restaurant. It was like one of the first restaurants we went to when we started dating up there. Convinced her we were going to go there for a nice dinner to sort of reminisce. And then just at the very last minute, took her on a small detour to a little picnic set up on the beach with the photographer hiding in the bushes and all that sort of jazz. So yeah. Went well.
But she sort of wanted to get the music pumping a little bit, like just before the proposal, and you sort of had to try and
calm the situation.
Calm the scenario down.
Oh, that's right. Actually, yeah, she was very interested in like just the picnic and stuff and getting the music going and stuff like that. She was, pretty distracted. I had to be like, oh no, I'm just trying to make a speech over here, if you don't mind. But,
will you marry me? Sorry. What?
Can I bother you to just
focus? J-Lo's on in the background.
So she, when you got to that picnic, she didn't even...
I don't know. She hadn't worked it out immediately, I don't think. And yeah, was just trying to talk about other stuff. And I was like, yeah, just give me a minute if you don't mind.
And then the wedding's coming up. How's the planning and stuff for that going?
Going all right. We, again, gave ourselves plenty of time. I think it would have been like... We booked a date like 18 months out from the proposal or something. So, and then we ticked a lot of the sort of big ticket items off very early, like venue and catering and photography and all that sort of jazz. So yeah, now it feels like there's just a lot of smaller, finer details to work out, which we haven't made as much progress on, but that I'm sure we'll get it done by the day.
Plenty of time.
You can't rush these things.
Yeah, yeah. Bob. And I think...
I mean, you kind of can.
You absolutely can.
You say the honeymoon counts as a small, finer detail.
Oh, yes.
Because you have been left in charge of that.
Yep. That hasn't gone very well yet. No. I'll get to that. In my defense, we wanted to go to New Zealand, I think was the plan. So I had the excuse that Eloise needed to sort a passport before I could start booking anything anyway. So
have you thought about going to Bali?
No. Yeah.
As in, yes, you have thought about it. It thought about it and said, no, thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't give it much thought. And then you sent those lovely photos of a couple piles of dirt while you were there.
There's a dead dog that floating in the ocean. How great. Yeah. How romantic.
Hey, Skid, come here for you.
Oh, no, so I can give you the place where you stayed. It was great.
Okay. Thanks, mate. Appreciate it. Perfect.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Oh, and then Skid, what about as a, I don't know, certainly no one would know this, but as a kid, you actually had like some sort of health issue in terms of kidneys. Yeah. Can you explain? Because I don't even think I really get it. I remember being like 12 and you've been in, or even younger probably, yeah. and you've been in hospital a bit and stuff. But is that something that still you've still got ramifications from?
No, not at all anymore. It was called nephrotic syndrome. So I don't even know what that means, to be honest, but some issue with my kidneys. It was an issue for a while, although it would have been, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years. I would have thought it would be going to and fro hospital and things like that. And taking lots of medication. I think I was on steroids for ages, so I was a bit of a psycho for a while.
That explains a lot.
Yeah. Also explains why he was so good at footy as a 12-year-old.
Because he was 6'3", you know, 4 foot.
Right, okay. Yeah, it all checks out.
He's fending me off.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Why is that guy
the
playing in
the... of my footy career is well
Why timed. Is he 16 and playing in the under-8s?
Yeah. it's weird. I've never played in that intense with a guy with a hairy chest. It's so strange.
Yeah, right. Okay. I never put those two together. That makes a lot of sense. But yeah, no, that's, I think they called it dormant one day and it's been dormant ever since. Mm. I don't know what that means. If like it's going to come back or something. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So, but no, it hasn't bothered me in a long time. So.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And then you also had one of the comments that we read quite a bit about both our voices, but I think I remember it particularly for you, is that like, hey, can these guys stop putting on these voices, blah, 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 like these deep voices, et cetera. Your voices legitimately sounded like that since you were in like, prep.
Yeah.
Something to do with the steroids. Oh,
yeah,
again, I imagine.
I wonder if that's to do with the steroids as well. But yeah, it's sounded like this for a long time. I remember our sister Bryony, one of her friends, like, had this story about me as a little kid. I think I'd only ever like seen her. I'd never really met her or spoken to her. And obviously I've had those great social skills. So I'm, you know, so fantastic at just walking up to people I don't know. So, yeah, but one day as like maybe a 6 or 7 year old, I saw her walking across the oval and just walked up and went, "Where's Bridie?" this girl was just terrified of me.
Fucking ran like, away.
Why does this 7 year old sound like the fucking Hulk?
7 year old sounds like Bane.
So, yeah, I don't know. I've always had a really deep voice. And I don't know why people think I would put it on. Like, how many hours of podcasting would
like
we have done?
50-minute eps. That's
a
lot.
Yeah, to be fair, I only say about 4 words an ep. So, it probably wouldn't have been that hard. But, but yeah, no, genuine voice.
Genuine voice. <Yeah. laughs> That's good. And then what about you were actually the owner of one of the world's longest living dogs. In fact, Skin, I reckon there's you bought Ruby, who we just lost this year, but you bought her as, what is it, was the money from your ninth
birthday.
Yeah. And can you remember back that you always wanted a dog, or what was the theory behind that back then?
Well, I think I've always liked dogs. I'm not much of a cat man like Mika, so yeah.
We're lost.
Yeah. And so we had a couple of,
shut up.
We had a couple of dogs before Ruby, didn't we? I vaguely remember him. I think we had a tiny little, that Kelly.
Kelly yeah.
got, she got bitten by a tick. That was sad.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'd always liked dogs. We lost her and then so I'd probably wanted a dog since then. But yeah, couldn't afford like a nice like one from an actual breeder, like a golden retriever or anything. I thought, yeah, saved up a whopping $110 from my ninth birthday and found Ruby at just some bloke's house in Carindale. So it went, Thought you'd get a stinker, basically. And then I wouldn't say we did a great job of making sure she was healthy at all times. I wouldn't have exercised her as often as we should have. I think we fed her like the $20 food from Kmart rather than the Yuka Nuba stuff or anything. And somehow she kept kicking for nearly 18.
Yeah,
so really 17 and a half years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was wild.
it's an amazing effort. Like, yeah, we remember, like, obviously when we had to say goodbye to her this year, like just thinking about the fact that we've never lived in that house. I think we moved into that house when I was 18, now 33. So how many years that is. It's, that's, we'd never seen that house without Ruby in it. It was very weird.
Yeah, yeah. It was a weird feeling going back there for the first time, but there's no just no dog running up to you or lying at the front door. It was very strange. But
blocking the door.
Yeah.
That was that's what Goaty used to always walk in.
You could not be any more in the way.
Don't worry, Rubes, I'll move you.
Couldn't be any more in the way, Rob. Oh, yeah.
But no, she was good. She was very good value. And yeah, I think, I don't know. I used to like take her for rides on like a bike. I'd just put her leash on the handlebars of the bike, and she'd like, as when she was actually young and fit, would like pull me up hills and stuff like that. She was crazy. So yeah, I've hung out with her all the time. And that was, again, because I have great social skills. I think I spent more time hanging out with her in my high school days than like humans. So mum was worried about me for a while, but she was a good dog. So it was just a good little friend.
Good little friend, yeah. And then what about, I hope this goes better. I asked Mikus about his diet yesterday when we did his Good Chat episode, and
yeah,
I got thrown out the window. I'm hoping you're a little bit more forthcoming with speaking about, I remember when I moved back from Adelaide in 2018 was pretty much exactly the time that you decided to change your diet. Something that you'd thought about quite a bit, hadn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I thought about it for ages. But while I was thinking about it, just wasn't changing anything. So then when I randomly made the decision to go vegan, I just did it overnight essentially, which was kind of strange. Like I think we literally had like steak for dinner the night before, and then I had a vegan breakfast the next day and never ate anything again. So that was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, that was strange, but yeah, I'm more than happy to talk about it. I'd like old Mikus over there, but also I don't know. I don't have I did all that thinking and research prior to deciding, and then sort of like planned of how to get enough protein and all that sort of jazz, and then haven't really had to think about it much since. So it's not really something that's top of my mind all the time either. But
it's almost like autopilot now, isn't it?
Pretty much.
But one of the great points that you've obviously never been able to argue with is when like Matt Gillen will say to you,
I knew it.
The animal's already dead.
That is just
stumped.
That is a sturdy
one. And I remember when he said that to you for the first time, you were like, oh, I've never considered that. Yeah.
Let me just eat this steak now.
Yeah, when you put it like that.
But what were your people do often say, like, what are your reasons for doing it? Because I guess there's only really like a couple of reasons that it would be. Well, I guess sometimes it can be for health, can't it?
Yeah, for sure.
More yours was more environmental, probably linking back to your interest in science again, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. For me, it was more about environmental. I think at the time, again, haven't been thinking about it that long for 7 years. So probably haven't got a bunch of research to quote off the top of my head. But at the time, I remember doing a lot of reading and sort of seeing that the cost to produce animal-based foods in terms of like water and land and the greenhouse gases that they produce just didn't really seem that sustainable. So I just didn't want to contribute to that. So I tried to minimize the impact that I could have through my diet, which obviously isn't zero, but is, an improvement. So that was my initial reason for sort of getting interested in it. And then, I guess it's pretty hard to sort of read about veganism and not see all the animal cruelty side of things. And I've always quite liked animals too, so that was pretty hard to watch. Mm. And, so that just made me more happy with the decision, I suppose.
You were actually a bit of a cow whisperer, weren't you? Like when we went to the Byron Bay farm, you were known to just go and talk to the cows for like an hour. I'm sure what you were saying.
I don't know.
On the drive. Cows were so far away, they didn't come over to him. He was just talking to them.
On the drive down here, we went because we're filming in the Hunter Valley, we drove down. There was that one passage of road where I don't know why they were out, but all these cows were just in the middle of the road, and you had to sort of like weave through them. And me and Mikus are just hanging our heads out the side of the window, moo.
Screaming at them.
How they bored were you guys?
Right. Yeah, very bored, but they just got so startled.
Do you reckon that's something you got from like, I remember Dad used to do like weird stuff with like, Dad was a massive animal lover, and like you guys obviously spent a lot of time together when you were young, you and Dad. Because me and Bronny had probably already gone to school, and you like dad would do like, I can't do the sound, but remember he would always go to like magpies. Oh, like he would imitate magpies. Like he would just do the sounds to them. Like,
yeah, genuinely. Yeah, I don't know how he did that. And then like he'd sit out in our garage with his coffee and like, I don't know, whatever he was eating and make the sound, and then like a couple magpies would come hang out with him, but he'd just sit there feeding them. It was bizarre.
But he did like weird stuff. Like he would, like Ruby, again, probably one of the reasons she lived for so long is also because of dad's contribution in the fact that he just gave her recreational drugs. Like she literally just drank coffee with him. But like he would say, he would do things like, oh, if you want some coffee, you've got to ask. And Ruby would bark at him. Yeah.
And then she'd get the coffee.
And then he would pour the coffee on the ground and Ruby would lick it up.
Perfect.
So weird.
Yeah. Hey, Rubs, here's some skin steroids.
You got to ask that.
Oh, you looked at me. Here you go.
And Mitchie, with the pod, what's next, mate? What's the grand plans for the next year or two? For the Chockies.
Year or two. Oh, jeez. Well, I don't know. I feel like a year or two is still kind of short term. Like, I feel like you just keep plugging away, trying to make our podcast as good as it can be. And yeah, probably focus. Like, we've always done a little bit of stuff on YouTube, like the dad jokes and whatnot. Obviously, it would be nice to sort of focus on them a little bit more and try and explore some different styles of content that we can make on there. But yeah, I think essentially like what we're already doing, just trying to like do it better and better in the immediate future. And then, yeah, I guess probably more long-term slowly, if you can make set like completely separate shows, I'd be very interested to hear you and Mikus talk about bloody Selling Sunsets or whatever the frick that reality TV show is. Things like
it's not
that.
Just one, buddy. Don't worry about that.
Okay, sorry.
They just don't get it.
They don't understand.
I do not get it at all. But, get it. That's,
but you will.
So. Yeah, exactly. That's why we need your podcast. So. Mm. Yeah.
And then Mitch, just one story to finish. We mentioned the time where, you know, you used to be actually quite angry when you, throughout that time, you were on steroids.
Yep.
For your health, yeah, that is.
Sorry.
Not your football.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And just one example of that, I think, is that you quite like, you got angry, but about things that were like quite obviously, I mean, for us as adults looking back, it's quite obviously untrue. But I remember for you as a young kid, you were definitely convinced that when I went, it meant Mitch has a small penis. And I managed to convince
what the fuck is wrong
all my mates.
Oh, that's good. That's fine. Is it? That's great. That's really good.
Can you?
Yeah, that is completely fine. It's not like bullying of a small child or anything like that.
But can you remember like why would you have believed that? Like, why would that have been a thing?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I guess I just like quite liked you. Like I was your little brother. I just would have followed you around everywhere. Like anything you did, I was interested in. So anything you said, I would have like gotten around, I suppose. Like anytime you make up like a stupid word or anything, I would always buy into it like and start calling people Geebs and Herbs and things like that, which is still the case.
Yeah.
So as soon as you said something, I would have just taken it as fact. And then obviously I didn't like that fact.
That's a poor
so, yeah. Yeah, which I've certainly realized now is not the case. That it would have been a couple of years after that whole saga that the rule of thumb started, you know, with just the Lee is a dickhead.
Yeah.
So.
But it was some of the great memories that I've got is like because Skid used to come and watch us play touch footy on a Friday night. And so like our mates would get there. We'd get there early and do like the walk to the Maccas and stuff, which Mitch would come to. And then just for like a bit of entertainment, one of them would go, and Skin would just chase them around touch fields. Literally trying to get them. And if he ever caught you, you were in strife.
Roid rage.
Yeah, serious rage. And then my favourite thing throughout those years of when he was like, when he had the roid rage as well, was like, I would like do something stupid, obviously, which would make Skin angry. He would chase me and try and punch me. And while he was like grabbing me, trying to punch me, I would try and kiss him.
Yeah.
That is something you would do.
Yeah.
It's weird that you did that last week.
Yeah, this was just yesterday. Yeah.
Skin also wasn't even trying to punch you.
But you remember that, don't you, Skin?
Yes, of course. Yeah, you were a pest in hindsight. I don't know why I liked you so much. But no.
Nothing's changed.
Well, that's perfect, Skid. Thank you very much for your time, for your good chat today and giving us a little bit more insight into how the world works for you. And we look forward to hearing much more from you on the podcast, which you obviously love, speaking in public. Mm-hmm. If you're listening and you want to meet Skin or you get the chance, just walk past him. He loves engaging with you.
He won't hide behind all of us at all.
just walk up.
I've never done that.
Just walk up and say hello. He would love it.
I did that yesterday.
You were right at the back of the
I could not have been further away.
Someone yelled out, "Hey, boys, I love the podcast." This kid started walking the other way.
Where are the keys? Give me the keys. Guys.
I think it's someone else, bud.
Yeah, I don't mind it either. See
ya. Thank you, Skid. Cheers.
So there you go. That was our chat with Skin. Very enjoyable. Great man, I've always said. Well done, Skin. Well performed. Great Thanks. Chatting.
Thank you. I tried. Tried my hardest.
Mikus asked a lot of questions again.
Yep.
Yeah, best on ground, I'd say, Mikus.
Yeah, you're right. He never interrupts people, which I like.
Faultless.
Faultless. Now, we will have another one of these episodes coming. That is with me. I think that's next week. And then the following week, we'll be back for recording of episode 215 of the Week of the Chocolates podcast, which everyone is getting very pumped up and excited for. But hopefully you're enjoying these good chat episodes as we go. If you are, feel free to tell us about it. And probably the easiest way to do that is to get in contact with us on our social media pages. That's at We Got The Chocolates, wherever you have social media.
Yep. You can also get in contact with us at our website, wegotthechocolates.com.au. You can leave a voice message on the chalk line if you'd like to hear yourself on a future episode, or just write into us below as well if that's your preference.
Yeah, make sure you jump onto Spotify and Apple, leave a review, 5 stars, obviously. And jump onto YouTube, leave a comment, go to your respond as per usual.
Yeah.
Well, actually not as per usual.
No, he'll at least, he will read them and then he usually screenshots them and sends them to us.
Someone reply to this.
Which is fantastic. But no, we absolutely love having you here. Thank you so much. And remember that if you are out there and having a laugh with your mates this week, then you're absolutely getting the chocolates. We'll speak to you again this time next week. And as always, good luck in the future. And that's Tom.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.